Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon Central Time, and there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to the program. Thanks for tuning in. This is Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Ryan Nisley there at the controls, and we've got Grace over the phones, and I'm looking forward to a good hour today. You had a pretty busy weekend.
I figured you would probably make me say a few
words. Because we're talking a little bit about work today, and so you had a little sort of extra work assignment.
I did.
For those in the Twin Cities market, of course, the weekend was the big Joyful Noise Family Fest, the music festival, the annual event there, and thousands attending. And you were part of it.
The role that I played was to dress up in a suit for a local business that sells shoes.
Yeah.
And I put on a shoe costume as part of that. And I was essentially, and in actually, a giant shoe for several hours on Saturday.
Yeah, and it gave us opportunity to just bring in old jokes about getting into shoe business and all those things. But, so.
I walked a mile in my shoe.
All right. I don't know how that will fit to our discussion today because we're going to talk about the gospel at work.
Okay,
and we will get into some discussion about finding meaning and purpose in your work. And
very good.
Things. So
very good.
This was not really probably a full time thing. You're not thinking this will move into a full-time position, do you think?
Well, I did learn a lot, but
I'm sure you did. Yes.
I think I would miss you if I was in a shoe all the time.
Yes, and it would affect me on the show, I'm sure. But let's get to today's guest. Sebastian Traeger has spent years starting and building various businesses. He has co-founded FiveStreet.com. It's a real estate technology company. Razoo.com, a crowdfunding site for causes, Christianity.com, software and services company for Christian organizations, and Silas Partners is a web consulting firm. He also helped start Village Phone, a telecommunications company in El Salvador, and worked as a management consultant at Dean & Company. Getting the idea, he's a business entrepreneur, and that's what he is. He graduated with a degree in politics from Princeton University and also played on the baseball team, managed a few on-campus businesses. In fact, he started out at businesses doing staining decks, and we'll maybe have him tell a little bit about his story about that. But he also serves as an elder at Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C., is on the board of Guidestone Financial Resources. And the reason that we have him on is because he is a co-author of a new book called The Gospel at Work, How Working for King Jesus Gives Purpose and Meaning to Our Jobs. And it's new out from Zondervan. And we're glad to have Sebastian with us on the phone. Sebastian, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Neil, thanks so much. Really appreciate you having me. So great to be here.
And if you have any thoughts on the shoe business, just kind of, feel free to pass that on to Ryan at any point during the show. But
sure thing.
Let's, it's Monday. That's there were probably more than a few people that sometime this morning saying, do I really have to go to work? And, we maybe make a big deal about Mondays and work, but let's go back, talk maybe the bigger picture even about why was work part of God's original design anyway? I know you kind of addressed that in the book, but maybe just set up why the book and why we're asking some of these important big questions.
Yeah, well, I mean, we see in the Bible that, from the very beginning, God's intention was for humans to work. So one of the, people think that work was the result of sin. And it's not, though, even though we experience some terrible days. From the Bible's perspective, from the moment God created Adam and Eve, he actually gave them work to do. He gave them a job. He gave them a garden and said, work and take care of it. And that work that they were given was meant to be work that brought them joy, that was perfectly in line with worshiping God. It was something that gave them great satisfaction to do. Their work was joyfully basically gathering up God's many blessings to them. Of course, their sin changed all of that because they sinned against God because they decided that they knew better than God or thought they did, and they wanted to kind of live their own way, God cursed their work. He basically said, your work will forever be filled with toil, frustration, difficulty, sweat, etc. No longer will it be just kind of the gathering up of all my blessings. It will now be hard for you to come about that. And I think that's crucial for us to understand, and it really helps us set expectations for all of our work. We understand that although God created us to work, because God cursed our work, it's therefore frustrating and difficult. And why? Maybe on Mondays we have kind of the case of the Mondays or other things. It's just difficult sometimes to go back.
You know, it's interesting that we read the book of Ecclesiastes, and that seems to suggest that a lot of our toil is meaningless. How do we square that with verses like in Colossians 3 about whatever we do, we should do our work heartily?
Yeah, well, I think that's, the Bible, I think, is so, it's such a great book, obviously because it's God's word and its truth, but also because of that, it's so realistic about the world that we live in. And so, the author of Ecclesiastes can say our work is meaningless, and it is meaningless if it's outside of God. If there's no purpose to our work, if we're not working as unto the Lord, then all of our work is meaningless, because ultimately it's not done in faith, and it's not done for God's glory. It's just done for us, and we know that that's meaningless. And so the reconciliation there is kind of a big theme of the book, and that's to say that any of our work, if it's not done unto the Lord, is meaningless. It doesn't matter per se, because it's simply kind of a part of a fallen world. But our work, when done unto the Lord, takes on meaning and purpose, and it brings glory to God as we do it.
So maybe we just need to do a little more foundational work there, because the title of the book is called The Gospel at Work, and I don't know that all the times when we show up each day we think particularly about the gospel. And I know you address what you suggest is perhaps the most important statement in the book, is that who you work for is more important than what you do. So just flesh that out a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think this is particularly important in our culture. So our culture seems to hold up and really make the what you do the really important thing. We can see this even when we meet other people. One of the first questions we might ask is, what do you do? And some of that's just really helpful. I just kind of want to know so I have a little bit more context to talk to you. But there's another part of it where our very identities are wrapped up in the kind of the what we do. And so a lot of our striving and a lot of our thinking can really relate to the kind of the what we do. And it's born out of just sort of a anchoring ourselves to some extent in our identity, our joy, et cetera, being linked to that what we do. When the reality is, it's not the what we do that's so important, but it's the who that we do it for. So if we're Christians, the most meaningful and important thing about our work is not what we do, but it's who we do it for. It's the fact that we do it for the King. And that reality shapes all of the ways we go about our work, because suddenly all that we do is for the King. Whatever it is, it's for the King. And that's what makes it amazing and purposeful and joyful. It's because the King himself has chosen to give us an assignment that we can do for him.
We'll discuss that in a bit more detail, as Sebastian has done in the book. He and Greg Gilbert have written a book called The Gospel at Work, How Working for King Jesus Gives Purpose and Meaning to Our Jobs. And I mentioned that Sebastian's a business entrepreneur, and he's also on the board, elder board of his church. But I'm interested, Sebastian, how this maybe became more of a important topic for you. Were you living maybe out of balance, like most of us perhaps are, in terms of work?
Yeah, I would say, for me, this is a very personal topic, because I've always been a sort of one of these people who is ambitious, who cares a lot about the what I do. It's been very important to me. When I was in college, I started thinking about this and how much, and really by reading God's word and reading the book of Ecclesiastes, just started to see that I was really pursuing a lot for my own sake, and just didn't really necessarily see how all these things I was striving for were really adding up to anything. And so I kind of just kept going through the motions and was doing good work and kind of getting ahead, et cetera. And it all kind of reached a point where where as a young when I hit about 30, I sold my first company, and I realized that, you know, upon selling a company, you should be at the top of the mountain, be, you know, rejoicing. I accomplished everything. You know, this world kind of wants you to accomplish to some extent, at least as an entrepreneur. And I quickly realized that I started to feel, you know, very empty, very, you know, purposeless, not really seeing my emotional state go down all of a sudden. And I really just started realizing, wait, if I have been redeemed by the King, then I should not be anchoring my hopes on my job circumstances or what I'm doing. I need to be anchoring my hopes on that King at all times. And so sort of as I just had these experiences being this ambitious person, really striving, actually accomplishing some of that, and realizing, wait, I've kind of fallen prey to the same thing that the world does by caring more about the what I'm doing and what I'm accomplishing than the who I'm doing it for. And that really just started, that kind of breakthrough really started helping me think through this topic in a completely different light, and I think really reshaped my thinking of it entirely.
We'll see if we can shed some new light on the thinking about what it means to work for King Jesus, how that gives purpose and meaning to our jobs. Sebastian Traeger is a business entrepreneur. He's spent the past 15 years or so starting and building various web businesses, and has authored the new book, co-authored the book, The Gospel at Work, along with Greg Gilbert. It's published by Zondervan. We've got three copies, and be happy to have you sign up for a free copy. We'll do a drawing at the end of the hour. Love to have your comments, your questions, too. Maybe you're finding yourself unsatisfied at work, or you're spending too much time at work, or you don't have work right now, or you're trying to encourage maybe a recent graduate to help in the search. We'll get some great insight about the right kind of framework and perspective for that in the moments ahead. You're welcome to join the conversation at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484.
Here's a quick reminder of the contest rules for drawings and promotions on Faith Radio. If you've won something from Faith Radio, wait 30 days before entering again. Multiple entries by the same person will be discarded unless otherwise stated. Winning entries may be used for promotional purposes. Faith Radio is not responsible for problems with computers, phones, or mail delivery, but we'll do our best to make your experience a good one. Find a full list of contest rules online in full legal speak at our website, myfaithradio.com.
We cannot prevent certain trials from storming into our lives, and we cannot avert the occasional obstacles that block our way. But next time on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll points out that there's one thing we can control, and it makes all the difference. Discover the power of attitude on the next Insight for Living.
Mornings at 8:30 here on Faith Radio.
One of those powerful verses that if we really get a hold of it, can be transformative. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, working for the Lord, not for human masters. It's the Lord Christ you're serving. Stephen Curtis Chapman, that good little bumper to get us back into our conversation with Sebastian Traeger, who's co-authored the book, The Gospel at Work, How Working for King Jesus Gives Purpose and Meaning to Our Jobs. And Sebastian, I know you spent some time in the book playing off of the word idol in both spellings and situations. We'll talk about that and set up the discussion on how we get off the weeds one way or the other.
Yeah, so what we do in the book is talk about two challenges that people seem to have in the workplace. And again, a lot of this is written by my own struggles in the workplace to do both of these. So if you're listening here, I'm no different than you. I'm not casting stones at you. I'm actually, you know, trying to help us all diagnose our hearts and see how we do this. So on the one side, we're tempted to make an idol of work, and that's IDOL, right? And that's very easy to do when our jobs become maybe our primary source of satisfaction or purpose and meaning. You know, it shows up not just in, you know, working too many hours, but really in a heart that finds a lot of its sense of well-being in what we do. That's how you can see that you're being tempted to make your work an idol, when your heart is sort of going up and down depending on how your performance at the job is going or getting that promotion or not. That's how you can kind of sense that might be happening. On the other extreme, we are tempted to be idle at work, and that's IDLE. And that's kind of operating as if God doesn't care about our jobs. It's you know, at its most extreme, it might mean not really working, but the way we think about it more in the book is just an idleness of heart. It's a heart that basically says, I don't know why I'm in this job. I don't understand God's purposes. And so therefore, I'm gonna not necessarily work with my all. I'm not going to work with a heart that sees that God actually has me do this. And so those are the two kind of challenges we want people to think through. How are you tempted to make your work an idol, to elevate it to a higher level than Christ in your life? Or how are you tempted to be idle at work? How are you tempted to underthink about your job, to kind of think God doesn't really care about what you're doing or how you're doing it? Those are the two things we want people to really think about.
Well, so let's go back, as you talked about, you know, your work is your source of your satisfaction. I mean, shouldn't we seek satisfaction in work, and shouldn't we seek to be the best?
I would say it's perfectly fine to seek satisfaction in work, and it's perfectly fine to seek to be the best. I would want to sort of help people think, though, on the one level, it's a matter of perspective and it's a matter of expectation. So from a perspective, we need to understand that nothing, if we're Christians, nothing can compete with our allegiance to Christ, right? Nothing, not our jobs, not our families, nothing. And so our jobs can tend to, again, be above God in our hearts. We think about it more, we stress about it more. That's what we're concerned about. And so while, yes, I would say absolutely, seek joy, try to be the best, but have the perspective that it's never going to be higher than your allegiance to Christ. And then the other thing I would say is about expectations. So that's perspective. From an expectations perspective, we should not be fooled into thinking that our work is ever going to reach some place of sort of final satisfaction in our lives, right? We are in a fallen world. There's only so much good that we can bring about in a fallen world, and there's only so much satisfaction that we can ever have in a fallen world. And so as long as that's our perspective, we should look at our jobs as, when we do have good days, be thankful to God that he gave us a good day, and not be pursuing them as though somehow the better we do, the higher we get promoted, the more attention we get, the more change we bring about in the world. None of that is finally going to bring about greater joy in our lives or make this world a permanently better place.
Although it seems like over the last, you know, generation or so, there's been a lot more emphasis on, you know, find work that makes a difference, right? And even yeah. There are a lot of ministries that kind of help us focus on that. You know, do something that's meaningful.
Yeah, and I would say again, all things being equal, if there's work that you can do that you think makes a bigger difference in the world than other work, then by all means, go ahead and do it. But a couple of caveats there. On the one hand, I think we are limited in our abilities to understand what work actually makes a bigger difference than other work, right? So I always like to use the example of did Bill Gates or Mother Teresa, which one of them has made a, quote, bigger difference in the world? It's very hard to really trace that out. So again, on the one hand, feel free to do work that is, quote, more meaning, you know, makes a bigger difference than other work. But I would just encourage you, by God's grace, there are so many different assignments that he gives us, so many different jobs, all of which are kind of part of his tapestry in bringing about human flourishing and serving other people's needs. So don't overstress how your job is exactly making a difference versus another job. Again, this is where this phrase we have, who you work for is more important than what you do, is so necessary. Trust the Lord in the assignment that he's given you and do that work unto him, and that's where you'll make the biggest difference and see the greatest joy, because you're doing work that's unto the Lord.
I suppose the opposite is an issue as well, isn't it? I mean, maybe in that sort of idea of idleness. Say, well, what difference does my job really make? I'm a cog in a big wheel or something, or you know, that we don't have the right perspective about the little things that we want to do, you know, everything unto the Lord, the glory of God.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, on that one, we're tempted. I mean, I've certainly had jobs in my past where I feel either underappreciated or it's not taking advantage of my skills or I'm just not passionate about it. I think all those things are true. Honestly, they can be true of us on a daily basis. Even if we're in jobs that we enjoy, those things can still be true. And again, this is where finally we do not want to anchor our self-worth. We don't want to anchor our joy in our jobs. We don't want to anchor those things in the mechanics of our work and in the day-to-day sort of happiness factor. We want to finally anchor them in, if God has called me to an assignment, to a job, I want to do it for God's glory with my all, faithfully, as serving him, and trust that wherever he has me, that is where he wants me to be faithful and fruitful for him. And so that is the fuel that we need, especially when we're tempted to kind of feel more frustrated or more discouraged in the work that we're doing.
I mean, frustration at work, though, that's one of the we hear about that all the time, right? Perhaps, half to three-quarters of the people that are coming in every day are frustrated or would rather be doing something else. I mean, those are pretty high numbers.
Yeah, and this is where I think the Christian has something that the non-Christian does not, right? If you are living for this world, if you are a non-Christian who does not have a relationship with the Lord, has not been redeemed by Christ, has not been given a new heart and a new life, well, then you are living for this world. And think about that. That means that you are living for a fallen world. You're living for a world that is literally been cursed by God, and so it is designed to actually frustrate you. Why? Because it's part of the curse. But in God's grace, part of the curse is actually pointing you to the fact that this is not all there is. So part of the reason you feel frustrated is because God's cursed your work, and God wants you to see that it's frustrating living apart from him. And if you're a Christian, though, you can suddenly live in a fallen world, live in a world that's frustrating, and just remind yourself, oh, yeah, of course, this is why God in Christ came to redeem us. He came to redeem us from this cursed world so that we can have a personal relationship with him. Yes, my job is frustrating, but I know that this is not all there is. I'm not living for this frustrating world. I have another home that I'm living for. And so suddenly the Christian comes at this frustrating world and this frustrating job with an entirely different perspective than the non-Christian. And that makes an enormous difference in the way that we go about our work.
Which is different than just work is just a means to an end. So I earn money so I can give to ministries or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, the purposes God has for us in our work are varied. You know, there's not just one reason God tells us we work in the Bible. There's actually a number of reasons, right? We work to bring God glory. We work to serve other people. Ways that we serve other people are we earn money. That's a very valid biblical reason for our work, so that we can earn money, so that we're not a burden for others. We work so that we can, you know, serve other humans and other you know, other people in the work that we do. There's good reasons that God gives us to work that are all biblical, and they're not simply so that we can give money to church or so that we can do evangelism. There's other good purposes God has for us in our work.
Coming up in a few moments, we'll get Sebastian's perspective on work. Is full-time Christian work more valuable than work in the marketplace? Also want to get his reaction to the well-known book, The 4-Hour Work Week, and some of the theories there. We want to talk about that balance between faithfulness and fruitfulness, those things and more. You may have a question or two, or maybe something that you've heard already. It's just sort of prompted a comment. You're welcome to join us. You can give us a call at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Or if it's more convenient, you want to drop us a note, you can just go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page, and there's an email link right there, so you can just send us a note that way, myfaithradio.com. Click on Connecting Faith, and we'll take care of your questions here after the break. Sebastian Traeger, who's a business person. He's spent years starting and building various businesses, a lot of online and various web businesses. He's co-founded FiveStreet.com, Razoo.com, Christianity.com, and Silas Partners. Sebastian serves as an elder at Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. area. He's co-authored the book, The Gospel at Work. Working for King Jesus gives purpose and meaning to our jobs. We'll find out more about it in a moment. And love to have you on board as well. We got three copies of the book to give away, so give us a call. We'll do a drawing at the end of the hour. 877-933-2484. Hey, how's your to-do list today? Is it filled up? We're talking about work today, particularly how working for King Jesus gives purpose and meaning to our jobs. That's the subtitle of the book, The Gospel at Work, written by Greg Gilbert and Sebastian Traeger. Greg's a pastor, Sebastian's a business person, and he serves as an elder in his church at the Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C., and they've co-authored the book. And addressing the question, we've got some copies to give away at 877-933-2484 if you have a question about it. So this is more than just a list of doing things differently. We're talking about the gospel in the workplace. We don't want to make an idol of work, and we don't want to be idle in our work. So what should we think about our jobs? What does it mean to see the gospel in the workplace? Because I know, Sebastian, you're talking about issues like self-worth and confidence. Let's discuss that a bit.
Yeah, so that's exactly right. We don't want to make an idol of work, and we don't want to be idle in work. We want to put the gospel in the center of all that we do. And so the gospel starts by saying that if we are believers, if we accept the gospel message that again, we have rebelled against God, our creator and our authority, but God in his mercy has sent Christ to redeem us of our sin. And if we'll repent and believe, we are now accepted into God's family. That is the gospel in a nutshell. And if that's true, if you've gone from rebelling against God to now being one of God's children in his family, there's a few things that are true of your work. One is that you have a new master. No longer do you work for yourself. You now work for the king. You work for King Jesus. The other thing that's new about that is you now have a new assignment. No longer, again, is your assignment to kind of do whatever pleases you. Now your assignment is to do what pleases the Lord. And we know that's to love him with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, to love others as ourselves. And then another really important part, and I think this has direct application for our every single day, is that we now have a new confidence. If we are in Christ, no longer is our confidence, our self-worth in ourselves. And, you know, that's a lot of what our culture tells us, is that if we can only have enough self-worth, if we can only feel good enough about ourselves through our performance, through what other people think of us, through how good we are at things, that self-worth is the thing that we need in life. And so there's a lot of people out there trying to build up our self-worth. But what Christianity says is that, no, what you really need is you need a new confidence. The confidence is not in yourself. The confidence is in the fact that you know that you are loved by God, that you've been redeemed by God. And once you know that, once you believe that, suddenly you have a confidence in the fact that the King of the universe has called you one of his children. And that's a confidence that just changes your entire outlook. Suddenly you're not thinking so much all the time about what others are thinking of you. You're trusting that the king already has accepted you and loves you and has called you into his family. And as Christians, that's fundamentally what we think we need, is this new confidence that changes so many things in our lives.
Because for most people, probably, I mean, work has a lot of stress and anxiety, and we become anxious and worry about it. So this could certainly make a difference in how we worry or don't worry about work.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, again, if we see that we've been redeemed by the king, that we have a new master, that we have new assignments, that we have new confidence, and that we have new rewards, that our rewards are now in heaven, that no longer are we living for what this world has to offer, suddenly our perspective, again, changes on things. Now, this does not mean that we don't care about making money or providing for ourselves. It doesn't mean that we don't try to do good work or even care and try to make good wise decisions about how to think about promotions or how to think about other aspects of our work. It doesn't mean that, but it just means that our final hope is not dictated by those things. It means that we can have kind of an open hand as we think about these things and trust the Lord to orchestrate some of these events in our lives.
You also talk about the idea of serving others wholeheartedly, that there is, altruism isn't really alive and well in a lot of business environments.
Yeah. So again, the world, oftentimes in the workplace, it's kind of a dog eat dog world, right? People are generally all fighting for their own. Now, obviously there's some people who fall on different levels of that spectrum, but fundamentally, the workplace and certainly a capitalistic culture is more about if I get, then you don't kind of thing. It's about me putting myself forward. Well, as Christians, suddenly, because we already know that Christ has secured for us eternity in heaven, well, suddenly our perspective on the stuff that we need in this world to make us happy or the stuff we need in this world to kind of validate us just doesn't kind of hold the same allure that it used to. We can now suddenly give ourselves away freely. We can serve others wholeheartedly because we know ultimately we have all the rewards that we'll ever need one day stored up for us in heaven. So again, our perspective, even in the day-to-day, even in the way that we serve other people with our time, with our money, with our talents, changes from what the non-Christian world looks at.
I know that part of the book is focused on the whole idea of balance. I was thinking about, not worrying at work, doing our work well, but we also need to sort of not overdo our work, make it become an idol. We need to find rest. But so let's talk about areas of balance, yeah. Because there's family, there's faith. So how do we find that balance, and what are some tips for that?
Yeah, great question. So one of the things we try to identify here is that we try to help people see that they've been given one grand. If you're a Christian, you've been given one grand assignment by God. That's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then the second great commandment is like it to love others like yourself. You can look at these as your biggest assignment is to love the Lord and everything, and your secondary assignments are to follow the Lord personally. If you have a family, to be about your family, to be about your work, to be about your church. These are kind of the big categories of assignments, work, church, and family, that we really try to explore in the book. And what normally happens for people is they think of this idea of balance and try to think, how do I balance work with my other commitments? How do I make sure I don't overdo this area so that I can also do this area? What we want to do is, first of all, just help people see that really all of these areas are arenas in which to glorify God. So to some extent, the Bible does not call us to be balanced people. It actually calls us to be sold out people for God in all things. So that's kind of our posture. We're sold out no matter what. Really, then the question is, okay, given that God's given me multiple assignments, multiple ways to be sold out, how do I think through these different assignments? And the Bible actually has a standard of faithfulness for what it means to be in a family, for what it means to be in a church, and in the workplace. There's a standard of faithfulness. There's kind of, think of it as a minimum bar that we should be striving to live up to in all of these areas. Now, if you're doing that, if you're kind of being faithful in all those areas, or let me back up, if you're not being faithful in all those areas, well, that's kind of the way you should be thinking about how to wisely be following the Lord. You need to be faithful in these three areas. So let's say you are. Let's say you're being faithful in all these areas. Well, then there's Christian freedom in what to invest in. I'm already living a life of faithfulness in work, church, and family. I feel like I've got more time or energy or capacity on my hands. How can I invest that additional time, energy, and capacity for God's glory to bring about fruitfulness in one of these areas? And there's freedom in that. You can choose to turn on or turn off different aspects of kind of pouring more into it, depending on a particular season in life you're in or what's going on.
And seasons are probably critical too, isn't it? I mean, there are going to be times, just as child rearing, I mean, where you have there's much more attention needed, and sleepless nights, those kinds of things.
Yeah. So right now, I'm a father of three, and I've got three children under six. So the investment of time I make in my family is going to look different than, Lord willing, if I ever live to be 60 years old and my kids are all out of the house. I'll have a different level of time and energy needed to invest in my family. And so fruitfulness and faithfulness are going to look different for me in that season of life than they do right now. And so one of the recommendations we have in the book is that you regularly kind of take a step back and you sort of assess how are you doing in these various areas. You sort of do a almost like an assessment of your time and in your energy and whether you're being faithful, whether you should invest for more fruitfulness, and do this maybe once a year. Do it in the context of close friends, do it in the context of a spouse, and kind of adjust what your commitments are, what you feel like you can do based on the changing nature of these assignments that God's given you, because they're not static. They're not, you know, you're not going to have the same job your whole life. You're not going to have the same kind of ages of children or family or church relationships your entire life. These different things have to be thought of wisely. And again, God gives us the freedom to do that in the context of community, to think about how we can invest our time and our energies all for God's glory, being sold out for Him, but pursuing, again, faithfulness in these various areas.
A few years ago, a book came out that caused quite a stir, and there's been several renditions or versions of it now, The 4-Hour Work Week. What are your thoughts on that sort of attitude, or maybe what seems to be prevalent in terms of maybe marketplace work books these days?
Yeah, so 4-Hour Work Week is a book written by a guy named Tim Ferriss. Interestingly, he was actually at Princeton when I was. He was a few years younger, and I didn't know him. It's actually a really good book. I actually really enjoy it. He's a very good writer. Makes a very compelling case. Here's actually, so it's caveat, he is not a Christian at all, and does not try to hold up a Christian worldview. That being said, what I really love about Tim Ferriss's vision is he's basically saying that I want to be sold out in life. Now, in his case, it's for living for myself. He wants to be sold out for living for himself. And so he basically constructs a lifestyle that supports him giving his all, if you will, for himself. And I think there's actually a lot a Christian can learn from that, right? Here's a man who is disciplined enough, who's thoughtful enough, who's organized enough to organize everything so that he can live for his glory. Well, obviously, as a Christian, I want to reject that worldview entirely. I think we need to live for God's glory. But once I reject his worldview and say, wait a second, as Christians, we should be putting a lot of effort and thought into how do we constrain our lifestyles so that we can live for God's glory in all things? How can we become more productive? How can we, you know, shed things that are distractions? How can we, you know, stop doing this and start doing this so that we can live even more so for God's glory? So I actually want to affirm a lot of what he says in that. Now, there's other aspects I would reject. I mean, the idea that we can undo the effects of the curse, i.e. work only 4 hours a week, again, as Christians, we need to reject, right? We cannot, in any kind of man-made sense, undo the effects of the curse. Why? Because fundamentally, the effects of the curse, more so than affecting our circumstances, which they do, they affect our hearts, and they make us all guilty before a just and a holy God of rebelling against Him. That's the most important aspect of the curse and the fall, that nothing we do can ever undo. Only God in Christ can undo that effect of the curse by redeeming us. So I kind of want to reject Tim Ferriss's worldview that he holds out in the 4-Hour Work Week, but I want to affirm and learn from a lot of the techniques he has and a lot of the methods he uses to kind of be sold out. I want to learn from that as much as I can.
Well, we're talking about another book just out from Zondervan. It's only 150 pages, but packed with great insight and information. The Gospel at Work, How Working for King Jesus Gives Purpose and Meaning to Our Jobs. Sebastian Traeger, Greg Gilbert have co-authored it. Sebastian's an entrepreneur, business person. He serves as an elder at his church at Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. Greg is a pastor at Third Avenue Baptist in Louisville, Kentucky. We're talking about the gospel at work, and we're going to get to questions about how to get along with your boss. And if you are a boss, how do you get along with those that report to you? Some advice for those looking for work as well. We'll get to all that and more coming up in just a moment. You're welcome to join the conversation. You have a question or a comment, something that maybe you want to react to based on what you've heard so far. You can call us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH, or drop us a note online at myfaithradio.com/connectingfaith.
miss the next Faith Radio Mornings.
On Tuesday's Faith Radio Mornings, we'll be joined by investment and finance expert Dave Sopransky. We'll talk about more biblical ways to manage your money effectively.
At 7:40, as parents, it can be easy to create a bubble around your kids, but what happens when they have to enter the real world? We'll be joined by author Dennis Tratin as he takes us through some key tips for preparing your kids for what lies ahead. His book is titled Parenting for the Launch.
Join us for Tuesday's Faith Radio Morning starting at 6 a.m.
Crunch the numbers. An investment in finishing your education or going back to school today can open doors that pay off in unbelievable ways tomorrow. And now, the Focus Adult Undergraduate Program at Northwestern is offering a Bachelor of Science in Accounting. You'll learn financial and managerial accounting and meet requirements to take the CPA exam while integrating a Christian perspective into the business world. For details, visit unwsp.edu/radio. University of Northwestern, St. Paul. Learn. Lead. Invest. Impact.
About the gospel at work today, how working for King Jesus gives purpose and meaning to our jobs. Sebastian Traeger co-authored this new book. It's valuable reading from Zondervan. Sebastian's a business entrepreneur and has a degree from Princeton University. He also serves as an elder at Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. He and his wife, Nikki, have three children and live close to the nation's capital where work doesn't always actually get accomplished. I'm just one of my favorite old Paul Harvey lines was if what the con is the opposite of pro, then is Congress the opposite of progress? But anyway, so that's, you can use that one, Sebastian. Just walking down the street if it works for you. But so let's talk about the view that full time Christian work somehow is more valuable than a non ministry job, and that still sort of hangs around, doesn't it? We haven't quite disabused ourselves of that one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a challenge for many. And so theologically, we try to tackle this question in the book and try to sort of disarm it. So our point here is that just to quickly answer, no, full-time ministry is not more important than our jobs. It's an awesome and a wonderful calling for people to preach full-time, to pastor, to be missionaries, to be seminary professors. And so these are all good things, and we want to encourage people who that's their calling. But this idea is just can't be true. Why? Well, because fundamentally we have to understand that the king deploys and calls different people to different roles, right? We have to understand biblically that that's true, that we shouldn't all be pastors just like we shouldn't all be police officers. Ultimately, we have to trust that the king deploys us as he wills. He puts us where we can serve his purposes best. And sometimes he deploys some of us to be pastors and missionaries and others as teachers and businessmen, but ultimately it's up to him. And we need to trust the Lord that where he deploys us, that is where he wants us to be. And I would say that, if there's any pastors on the line and any people in full-time Christian work, I would encourage you, not to make statements like, being a pastor I can't imagine doing anything else. For you, I would say that is most likely true. You could not see doing anything else. But that can actually be a discouraging comment to somebody who's maybe not doing that. To somebody who's in the workplace, I would encourage you, don't fret if you're not, a pastor or missionary. Pray for the pastor and missionaries in your life. Lift them up, support them, encourage them. But trust that the Lord has you exactly where he wants you.
So say a word about for those looking for work, and I know you mentioned earlier about, knowing God's purposes in our work. Sometimes maybe it's kind of hard to discern, well, what would be the purpose of this? Or, what I really need is a job. I need an income stream. So talk about the looking for work, some principles there.
Yeah, so I would say, again, if you're listening now and you're looking for work, it can be one of the more difficult things in life. It's very hard. Because all kinds of things come up, everything like you just said, Neil, about you know, finances, to just sort of feeling purposeless, to feeling like, you know, no one really cares about you, you don't have a skill to add, et cetera. The most important thing I can say to you is I'm going to repeat this comment again. Who you work for is more important than what you do. That unemployment of yours is actually within the realm of what God has for you. That is his assignment at this stage of your life. So I want to encourage you to try to bring glory to God, even in the way you go about being unemployed or looking for a job, even in the way that's something you're doing. So trust the Lord that he has you there. Now, in terms of very specifically choosing a job and looking for a job, you know, we in the book try to articulate and point out, we have a framework for helping people think through what are biblical must-haves in a job and what are nice-to-haves. What are those things that the Bible says must be true of our jobs? And what are those things that are fine if they're true, but fine if they're not true? And just try to help people kind of detach from what the world considers to be the most important things and instead try to help people understand what God says are the most important things about the job that they actually go ahead and choose.
Say a few words about maybe some principles about not only maybe getting along with the boss, but if we are the boss, are there some principles for being a good Christian boss?
If you're a boss and you're listening, the key thing to understand about being a boss is that ultimately you have authority over others. But that authority is not ultimately from yourself. That authority is given from God. You're actually a steward and a representative of the Lord in exercising that authority. You're actually telling people under you what God is like by the way you exercise authority, right? We know, and Mark is a great book of the Bible to read if you want to understand that Jesus came to have authority. That's ultimately the picture. We understand God has authority over all things. And so when we have authority, we're showing other people what God's authority is like. And so just that idea should be pretty sobering if you're a boss, to realize that you being a boss over somebody is not about, you know, you lording it over them. It's not about you being served. It's actually about you stewarding authority in such a way that you bring about flourishing and creativity and good work and building them up. And all of these good things are to come out of your authority over this other person. Just some quick tips. I know, you know, there's a lot of different books written about leadership and managing and other things. I've kind of found just on two very simple things have helped me be a better leader and manager over other people, to exercise authority well over them. One of them is to pray for the people that I have authority over, to actually pray for their lives, to pray for their families, so that if they're not Christians, to pray that they would come to know the Lord, and for me to pray that I would manage them all. Just, it's amazing when you actually start to pray for somebody, how your mindset is going to shift from being maybe tempted to lord your authority over them to actually want to serve them with your authority. And then the second one is pretty practical or tactical, which is to say, if you've got authority over someone, you know, I think that if you can spend just even 30 minutes once a week with a one-on-one with that person and make it a time where you just say, hey, what's going on with you in this work, in this job? What's on your plate? How can I help you get it done? What can I do to make your work easier and more productive? Again, not lording it over them, but just trying to exercise that authority in a way that's trying to build them up and look for their best.
Well, I know one of the chapters you addressed, too, is an issue that maybe is becoming more challenging, is sharing the gospel at work. But I think based on what you've said, there's probably a lot to be said about, you know, when we do our work heartily as unto the Lord, that our actions will speak as loud as our words.
Yeah, so one thing we try to make clear in the book is that sharing the gospel at work is not the only or primary purpose of your job. It's one purpose, and that's because if you're a Christian, you are ambassador of the King in all areas of your life. You're always an ambassador of the King. So, of course, you should be an ambassador of the King in the workplace as well. We reject this idea that, you know, do good works and if necessary, use words to share the gospel. No, sharing the gospel is actively opening your mouth and sharing and communicating news. So we think kind of the most basic thing you can do in the workplace is do good work. It's very hard to be a good ambassador for the King if the work you're doing is shoddy, if you're complaining, if you're gossip, et cetera. So do good work in the workplace. But that's just going to kind of commend the gospel. That's going to adorn the gospel. That's not communicating the gospel. In terms of communicating the gospel, a couple of things we recommend is, one, put God on the table. Make sure people in the office or in your workplace know that you're a Christian. Just make it not surprising to them that you talk about Christian things, not in an obnoxious or an irresponsible way, but in a matter-of-fact way. The same way that you might talk about the fact that you saw a game yesterday. Mention the fact that you went to church yesterday, that that's a part of your life. And then certainly build relationships. So workplace evangelism doesn't necessarily mean evangelism during 9 to 5. It simply means evangelism with those people that you meet in the workplace. So build relationships in the workplace and strategize for how you can have conversations outside the workplace with people that are evangelistic and sharing the good news of Christ with them.
Now, Paul had a lot to say about work relationships. Obviously, we've been talking about Colossians 3, but he also talked about, you know, slaves and masters. Are there maybe a verse or two that you sort of keep coming back to, or that maybe when you first really dug into it, it had the most meaning for you?
Yeah, I would say there's two verses that I think kind of keep coming back. The first is the passage you've quoted, Colossians 3:23. Do all your work is under the Lord, because that's ultimately who you're serving. So ultimately in all of our work, we want to understand that it's the Lord Christ that we're serving. And so fundamentally, that's the master we're serving. I think the second verse that I love, and it's in Proverbs, it's Proverbs 22:29. It says, "See a man who is skilled at his work. He will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men." And I love that passage because ultimately, you know, if you were in the ancient Near East, if you lived 4,000 years ago, the greatest job you could possibly have would have nothing to do with the actual mechanics of the job. It would be all about who it is that you serve. That's what makes that job so amazing, right? So a skilled worker got to serve the king. Could you imagine that? Serving King Solomon? There's no greater job than that, right? I mean, in our day and age, we don't understand that the who you serve matters so much. But I love that verse because I think as Christians, it helps us see that as we work is under the Lord, and we serve the king, there's nothing greater than we can do than to serve that king faithfully with the skill of our hands, you know, with excellence and with a heart that really desires to please that king. And that is fundamentally what makes our work meaningful and purposeful.
Good words today. Good insight from Sebastian Traeger, co-author of the new book, The Gospel at Work, How Working for King Jesus Gives Purpose and Meaning to Our Jobs. You can find it at Zondervan, and you can find the podcast on our website at myfaithradio.com.